My name is Nick DeBoer, Councillor Nick DeBoer. I now call this Planning and Development Committee to order. Please note that assisted listening devices in the council chambers are available upon request from the clerk's office. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. If there are any members of council who have a disclosure of pecuniary interest. And seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I'll read out a title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that that item be held so that for further discussion. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. First person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first to that item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent and no further discussion of the item will take place this evening. And the recommendation will go forward to council for their consideration at the next meeting. So the first item is the staff report 2017-7 regarding formation of a working group on aggregate and related matters. Councillor Shaughnessy asked for that to be held. Staff report 2017-38 regarding proposed draft plan subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment applications, Flatow Palgrave Mansions Inc., 0 Mount Pleasant Road, Parts Lot 25, Concession 9, Albion, Ward 4. Approved on consent. Staff report 2017-18 regarding proposed heritage designation for 715 Bush Street, Ward 1. It's approved on consent. Confidential staff report 2017-4 regarding advice that is subject to solicitor client privilege and litigation, including matters before the administrative tribunal affecting the municipality. Appeal options for committee of adjustment decision number A056-16. 0 Queen Street, Alton, Ward 1. Councillor Shaughnessy asked for it to be held. And confidential staff report 2017-5 regarding advice that is subject to solicitor client privilege and litigation, including matters before an administrative tribunal affecting the municipality, and appeal options for committee of adjustment decision number A042-1626, Wright Crescent, Caledon, Ward 5. Councillor Shaughnessy, that's for it to be held. Okay. We will now move into the public meeting portion of this evening's agenda. The first public meeting is regarding the proposed zoning bylaw amendment 200 Pine Street north side of 200 Pine Avenue, north side of Pine Avenue, west of Mount Hope Road, east of Highway 50, Part Lot 27, Concession 6 and 7 of Albion and Ward 4. The second public meeting is regarding the proposed draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment 2256 Mayfield Road, Part Lot 18, Concession 2, WHS of Chincoosey, north side of Mayfield Road, west of McLaughlin, east of Chincoosey Road in Ward 2. And the third public meeting is regarding the proposed draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment 2650 Mayfield Road, part lot of 18, concession 1, west at WHS Chincoosey, north side of Mayfield Road, east of McLaughlin Road, Ward 2. So the purpose of these three public meetings is to gather input from the public concerning the applications. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the applications being heard should be directed to the town clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding any of the applications are advised to clearly print their name and address on the notification list located on the table at the entrance to the council chambers. Following each presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name and address for the public record and provide their comments. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to your left. Please note that any information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following public comments, council will be invited to ask questions of the presenters regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note that council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or debate the matter. So I'll move on to public meeting number one, as listed in the agenda, and I will now ask Mary Nordstrom, town senior development planner, to confirm that the notification was conducted in accordance to the Planning Act for the public meeting concerning this matter.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Notice of this public meeting was published in both the Caledon Citizen and Caledon Enterprise on March 1st, and notification was sent out to all landowners within 120 meters of the site. So yes, it's been done in accordance with the Planning Act.
Thank you, Ms. Nordstrom. I will now call upon Chad John Batiste from MMM Group to begin their presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of committee. My name is Chad John Baptiste. I'm here on behalf of the town of Caledon for the zoning application for the Caledon Equestrian Park lands. Very briefly, just go through a quick background in terms of how we've arrived to the point where we're at now. Sort of give a quick overview of the site, though I know many people are familiar with the site. Talk a bit about the process we're currently going through, and then sort of briefly go through sort of some of the proposed changes with respect to the rezoning. So our office was retained by the town to update the zoning with respect to the Caledon Equestrian Park lands. The intention was to permit additional uses on the subject site. Just some brief background. In May of 2012, the site was selected for the Pan Am Games, the main equestrian venue. To facilitate that, in October 2012, some minor variances were passed to allow for the construction of the various facilities, many of which are still in place today, including such things as some of the permanent seating areas, the new Grand Prix Arena, as well as some of the indoor and outdoor training facilities. But those variances had a lapsing provision. The intention was that they would lapse in October 2015, and that's where we now are with respect to our zoning process. So this is just a quick image of the site. You can see some of the purple buildings that are existing today in terms of the outdoor, the indoor arena, the existing stable facilities, and as well as the sort of the main grandstand towards the west of the site. You'll also see some examples of some of the temporary stable areas that are often constructed and used during the course of the season. So in terms of where we're at now, we conducted a site visit with the town in 2015 to get a good understanding of the site, the uses that are being contemplated for the site. We had our consultation meeting with town staff to outline the application requirements. We've been involved with staff in terms of discussions about the proposed uses and approaches to the proposed uses. So some of what's reflected here has been feedback from them, but of course we're also here to hear from the public today and any potential feedback that they may have. A number of studies were completed, traffic impact, noise, stormwater management, dust mitigation was looked at as well, just to confirm that the uses proposed can be supported on the site. Just for those that may not be familiar, the lands, the western portion of the site, west of the dash red line, is owned by the TRCA. The eastern portion is privately held by EMG. But the property works together as one and with an agreement with the TRCA and the town in terms of how the site operates and works. The proposed new uses, what we're really looking to do is augment this great facility within the town, recognize many of the existing historic uses that have occurred on the site. I want to make it clear that as part of the zoning application, we're not proposing any new construction or any new buildings as part of this process. I've heard this question from a few residents. If it's within the zoning envelope, any new buildings could proceed through the site plan process. Otherwise, it'd be a separate public process. This slide's a bit wordy, but really what it's meant to do is just sort of show the proposed uses that we're proposing to carry onto the site, as well as some of the new site-specific standards. So as a simple example, an equestrian center is obviously what's occurred on the site for a long period of time. However, it's never been formally captured in the town zoning bylaw, so we're proposing to bring that forward. We've got a proposed zoning definition that ties in with that as well. The uses listed with a star are uses that haven't sort of historically existed on the site, but uses that, you know, in discussions with staff and discussions with EMG sort of made sense as uses that could occur on the site. So a school, thinking of high school or college or something like that could utilize the existing facility. Veterinary hospital as an accessory use or farmers market as an accessory use. Those are some of the new uses that are just being contemplated with respect to the site. This figure is just to sort of give a quick summary of some of the results from some of the work that was done. From a traffic perspective, the site's fine based on the proposed uses, parking and so on. There's lots of space on site for that. From a noise perspective, I had one resident ask me about that. We've heard about and we're aware of some noise complaints. So we did a noise study this past summer looking at putting some noise monitoring around the site for one of the existing equestrian events that occurred. And the site didn't go over the MOE criteria with respect to noise. So from that perspective, we were comfortable with any issues or concerns that may be raised with respect to noise. Having said that, there was some suggestion that to address the perception of noise, maybe some tree plantings in certain areas could occur. And that's what's shown here and suggested here. In addition, we did a site visit with the TRCA. TRCA owns part of the lands, but as well, just to make sure that from a zoning perspective, we're capturing any potential environmental features. There's a couple of wooded areas that have been identified in the dark green that the TRCA has requested that be zoned in the environmental protection category. So that's what we're proposing to do as part of this. What's in the hatch blue are stormwater management facilities, and that's just being proposed to be captured within the stormwater management zoning that the town currently has in their bylaw. Overall, while the site functions, while it's two separate properties for the TRCA and EMG, we're proposing to have one common zone category for what I refer to as the tablelands, and then that would work in such a way that the site could function as one, which is really what it does already. We're just sort of formalizing that through the zoning bylaw process, and that would be in a site-specific agricultural zone. So just to summarize, the amendment supports and enhances the existing equestrian facilities on site. We're really sort of bringing forward some of the legacy land uses into the zoning bylaw to provide support in respect to the Palgrave community and the site as a tourist hub for the area. It's our opinion it's consistent with the official plan, regional official plan, and provincial policy direction. And the application fundamentally is to support the town's vision to enhance sort of the principal uses of this park and to provide for added opportunities while still being compatible with the surrounding residential uses.
Okay.
So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to take.
Yeah, thank you very much. If you want to just stay here, if there's any questions. So if there are any members of the public have any questions this evening, please step up to the podium, state your name and clearly, and provide your comments through the microphone. Okay, thank you. Each member or
sure, I'll say a few things.
Oh. Okay.
Good evening.
Please state your name, Ian, please.
Ian Sinclair, Caledon resident. I had requested staff to post some of the reports leading up to this rezoning application on the website. They weren't there for a while after the notice went out. And I've only had time to download the summary planning report, justification report. And I'll make some points under that. I notice the minor variance application is reviewed, and there were some major variances there, and they were okay for temporary use, such as an agricultural fair with tents, but not a permanent $14 million capital facility that's gone in there. So we're stuck with that. There's mention here of a noise study on 5.1 of the report, and they say that noise generated by the PA system may be audible by surrounding residential uses. And the problem with that is every summer weekend there's going to be a major event there with PA systems working. So that their surrounding residents are going to be faced with hearing the announcements at some level or another, depending on wind and humidity in the air. And it says, recommendations for further noise attenuation include planting additional trees along the property line, using mobile applications to alert athletes instead of speakers, and using visual instead of audible announcements. But they don't mention what the answer really will be fair to the neighbors. It looks to me as if on weekends they're going to be denied the quiet enjoyment of use of their lands. Traffic impact study simply says there's sufficient capacity on the surrounding road network. And the problem with that is I've noticed over the years as traffic specialists treat traffic studies in terms of the ability to move so many vehicles through a road system in an hour or so. And there's no discussion here that there is a residential class road system surrounding the facility. And surrounding a facility is also people and Caledon Rail Trail. So what's fair to the owners of having heavy goods vehicles moving in and out every weekend? Fugitive dust study, they talk about a mitigation program or dust management program, but there's no mention how that's going to get enforced or somehow put into a thorough management plan that can be referred to. Stormwater management report addendum talks about here having done a report on the proposed uses and then saying, well, if there's any increase that might of uses or building coverage, then you might have to do further drainage plan work. But there's no mention of what the actual experience to date has been over the last 3 years on the site. So we don't know if what's there is adequate. There's mention under the 5.5 addendum to Ontario Water Resource Groundwater Surface Impact Assessment saying that the sewage system is within the 25,000 liters a day permitted flows, but there's no mention of what the actual flows have been. And there's mention of a 30-meter minimum vegetation protection zone there. But certainly under the growth plan that's well quoted here, there's a requirement for an enhancement and restoration of vegetation, particularly on the Oak Ridges Moraine. I noticed under provincial policy statements, land use compatibility is simply not referenced at all for major facilities. I would say the report is actually quite good in the sense that they've done a thorough job up to a point of covering PPS, Oak Ridges Moraine Growth Plan, Town of Caledon Plan. One of the problems certainly I have with this is they keep referring to this major commercial equestrian center as an agricultural use. I don't think there's been any food grown or crop grown on those lands probably for over 40 years. And if you go down to the Peel Federation of Agricultural, they'll quickly tell you they don't consider equestrian as agriculture. So it looks to me as if the theme here is to call it an agricultural use and avoid an official plan amendment and try and stay within the agricultural zoning concept. Under the summary, they mentioned that, again, it's a principal agricultural use. And then they mentioned small-scale commercial uses are permitted and the proposed office function does not exceed 465 square meters of gross something A, GFA. Well, the entire site is commercial, right? People pay to get on there and compete on horses. They compete, pay to buy food, any trade goods they buy. If they want to store their land yachts and major trailers for horses, they pay. So I don't see how you can call it small scale and reduce it to an office function. It's a major commercial facility operated for profit. I noticed the no one seems to have reviewed building coverage on the land, and I don't know if that is an issue or not. And certainly a major issue is parking, adequate parking for the events. And I would expect that to be covered in a zoning bylaw. Under the Greenbelt Plan, Policy 4.1.2, Recreational Use Policies, talks about applications to expand or establish a major recreational use, and there's major policies there that should be considered carefully. And I'm going to, under the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan, I have a section 38, major recreational uses, that go on and on, requiring very careful consideration of water conserving technologies, and particularly irrigation systems, and dealing with irrigation and watering of sports field surfaces. And I don't know where that's been covered off here. I spoke to a consultant in the foyer and was told they simply use a fire hydrant to run a big water truck around. There's also a call for a vegetation management plan. And they say an application to establish or expand a major recreational use shall demonstrate will be designed and located as not to conflict with adjacent land uses. And that has a major consideration going back to my comments on the sound system and annoying people all summer on weekends. There's no mention that I can see of the Endangered Species Act, and we're right next to the Humber River and Palgrave Mill Pond and wetlands there. So I would hope that the planning reports get reviewed a little more carefully on some of these major policies. And I would suggest you really do need a full official plan amendment for the site, not just rezoning. That's it.
Thank you, Ian. Well, the staff will be preparing and the consultant will be adding all those questions, answering those questions within the report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more members of the public who wish to have a question or comment? Thank you. Do any members of council have any questions for the presenter? Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sinclair mentioned the parking, so we just want to make sure there is adequate parking there. In speaking to some of the neighbors that live in that area, one of the concerns they raised, and I guess through you, Mr. Chair, to staff or to the consultant, with respect to the zoning bylaw amendment, will it permit any future residential development? As part of the lands are owned by TRCA, the other part's owned by EMG, so I guess residents just want some surety there.
The zoning bylaw amendment would not propose any additional residential uses.
Okay.
You maybe speak up a little louder.
Sorry, the zoning bylaw amendment would not propose any new residential uses.
Okay, great, thank you. One of the other things that Mr. Sinclair mentioned and I had written down was the noise. I know that in here you talked about planting some more vegetated strip, There is something called the living wall. I don't know if you've ever heard of the living wall. It's a great feature. It's very environmentally friendly. It looks great, but it's great for sound. And it's not just, you know, a concrete wall or a wooden fence, but would that be something that we could consider doing, because it just adds a natural look to the, and gives, I think it gives more sound protection.
You can use the microphone right there in front of you if you want.
That's all right, I can use it.
Okay.
With respect to a living wall, you're right, it is a great solution, but it's a solution that's required when you have noise levels that exceed MOE criteria. The work that we did on the site, the noise study that was done, it was shown that the site actually works at its property lines that it meets the MOE criteria with respect to noise, and so there's no further formal noise mitigation that's required on site.
So let me ask you this. Suppose down the road you have events going on there, and are you going to monitor the noise level at some point? Because right now it might need it, but later on down the road, depending on what's happening there, it may exceed it. So is there any monitoring that will happen?
In terms of the long-term monitoring, that's something that we can certainly take back and have a discussion with staff with respect to how that would play out in the long term.
Yeah,
in terms of, based on the work that we did, the site meets that MOE criteria. And I was speaking with one of the residents and say, well, you guys were out there the day you guys knew you were out there, they were quieter. And my answer is, well, then they shot themselves in the foot, because they know they could meet MOE criteria and still operate properly. But that's just an ongoing monitoring, and we can discuss with staff, you know, if it's required, how that could work.
And I understand, but again, I'll just reiterate to you that down the road, when you're running other events there, we might want to just keep an eye and monitor and make sure that the noise level is not way above what's permitted. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Touching on what Councillor Groves talked about, some of the issues involved in this park are actually some of the issues that I experienced in Ward 1 with my aggregate operations. Traffic, noise, dust, stormwater, not sewage though. Anyways, you said, how do we monitor? I mean, that's a huge problem in Ward 1 with monitoring noise. So on an ongoing basis. So I'm hearing that we have a sound problem, but I'm not hearing what the solution is to actually monitor it on a daily basis. How do we do that? I mean, even I can go even step away from my aggregate and go to the farms that we have that have been changed into places for wedding halls, and the tremendous sound problems we have coming from there. So for me, I'd like to know how we're going to do that. Who's going to look after it, and how are we going to monitor it?
Okay, I don't know if anybody's prepared to answer, but they'll ensure that it's answered as part of the report when it comes back.
That will come back to council with how we're going to monitor it?
That's the question you've asked, and that will be part of the discussions they'll have to have, rather than having it here between the table. I think
that's fine.
It's probably
fine.
Good to have it go that way.
I want to just be clear.
Yep.
Okay, I see in the proposed zoning, but the land has been A2, and Mr. Sinclair is quite right about a commercial operation. What is allowed on A2 land? Not what A2 is sitting there, not allowed. What is actually allowed on A2 land according to our agricultural policies right now?
Mr. Jean-Baptiste.
Apologize, just want to get the page up.
I just don't see it before me, so I'm...
So, looking at specifically Section 7134 in the Caledon OP, the site's actually in the policy area 3, in the Palgrave Estate Residential Community, so there's a variety of uses that are permitted within that. And then, of course, you still have to go through a zoning process to say how will that work on a given site. So from that policy,
There's agricultural and associated residential uses, rural estate, conservation, open space, non-intensive recreation, intensive recreation uses are the types of uses that are permitted in that area.
Okay.
Okay. You mentioned something having to do with houses would not be allowed, but the fact is that EMG owns half of this land, and they know they want to put it under houses. So would they have to come back for official plan amendment or a rezoning?
They would certainly have to come back for a zoning bylaw amendment application as well as a plan of subdivision. It's depending on the extent of the residential, and some future application would determine if an official plan amendment would be needed or not. But there would be a public process.
And we'd have to rezone it?
Yes.
Okay. One more question. Mr. Sinclair mentioned that it was minor, and this application was minor in nature. If this is minor, what's major?
Through the chair. No, I was actually just, I wasn't sure if there's through the chair. That was Mr. Sinclair's contention that this is a minor application.
I think he meant a minor use of the land. Yeah. Then what would be a major use of this land? Because I think this is a major use of the land.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying that's Mr. Sinclair's intent. Representation. From my perspective, this is a zoning bylaw amendment. There's a full public process that looks at and assesses all the uses to determine whether or not the uses proposed are appropriate on the site. So I wouldn't suggest that this was minor. It is a zoning application process that we're going through to assess all the uses that are proposed.
So is it an intensive use?
This was asked of me outside as well, and I think it is fair to say that there are a fair amount of different types of uses that are occurring on the site, and one could suggest that it would be intensive, but it's also about a large-scale site. It's over 50 hectares in terms of the site, and the amount of uses are, in terms of the scale of the buildings, they're not large. A lot of the site is actually just the outdoor space, the training rings, the stable areas, and so on. That are being used occasionally throughout the summer months.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Just one question. It was brought up the issue of noise, and you had indicated that you did noise studies which showed that the noise level off the site fell below the MOE guidelines. And it wasn't asked, so I will ask it. I know that the park has been in a full year of operation. So were those studies done with the full operations on site? That, to me, would be the ideal situation for gathering.
It was done last May. Once the site was fully up and operating with all the equipment up, that's actually one of the reasons why while we started, I guess it was end of 2004, we didn't actually get going fully. It's a new year now. 2015 is when we started. It was in May 2016 because we wanted to wait till the summer, till all the speakers were up, and then we did our noise study at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mazzapelli brought up about the sound, and it is a huge issue. So when you did your sound study, was this one day, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Was it the month of May? Was it June when it's high season there? Can you give me an idea of when it was done and how long it was done?
It was done in May. It covered one event. It was a whole day event that was covered. I understand that most of the speakers were utilized as part of it, and the results were that were below the MOE criteria. It's not something that we were sort of close or on the borderline. It was something that we were below the MOE criteria with respect to noise. So we feel that it was an adequate time that it was done in terms of looking at it. That's one of the things when we started it is, okay, where are the noise complaints? Where are they coming from? I think there's only a couple of formal noise complaints. It wasn't I readily acknowledge there were noise complaints, so it had to get looked at. But it wasn't a broad-based issue in terms of noise complaints, and we made sure that we tried to get the areas closer to the residential parts of the site to say, okay, what's the noise coming from? Understand that, you know, a lot of the speakers are focused on the rings itself and not, you know, so that's where a lot of the noise is focused. That doesn't mean to say people don't hear their neighbors. I mean, I hear the neighbors in my backyard when they're throwing a party as well. I radically acknowledge that. The standard from a land use planning perspective is the MOE criteria that's outlined by the province, and do we meet those criteria during the day and during the night? And the noise study that was prepared shows that it was fine.
Okay, the reason I'm not trying to be a stickler here, but the fact is that the wedding venue that we use in Ward 1, they know when they're coming to do the sound monitoring, and they make sure the speakers are down. So when they know you're coming and they know you're going to do it, well, then everything comes down low. But the next weekend, when they're not there, the sound goes up. So how do we – so I'm thinking of it from my experience, and we all of us passed that particular, and it was like I wish we had never passed that. And we have an ongoing situation with a noise disturbance all the time there. So sound studies are only as good as one who's conducting them, how often they're done, and if they're done without any notice. So my concern is, because I feel for the neighbors, just like I feel for the neighbors around this wedding venue, I feel for the neighbors around my aggregate operations that work
so
nonstop.
The question, I think, will you address when the study was actually completed? I think that is the question. In your report,
we will address in the final report when the study was completed, confirm the extent to which, you know, where all the rings and speakers were up at that time. My understanding is it was, you know, the site was fully set up. They set it up for the spring and it runs throughout the entire year until they take them down and the speakers down in the fall. But we'll address that in our final report.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think it probably would have been, sorry, Mr. Chair, I would still have my line on, I'm still speaking. I just think that sound studies need to be not done one weekend. We need to look at it across a longer period of time and look at that analysis, because anybody can juggle and make sure one weekend looks okay. And I tell you, on the enjoyment of our country properties, if somebody's annoying the heck out of me, or annoying the neighbors with loud noise, nobody appreciates that. So I'd like you to go back and take a look at that. But I think noise analysis needs to be done not just on a one weekend. It needs to be done over a period of time, and it needs to be done, quite frankly, when you just show up and not a planned opportunity. Because in Ward 1, I tell you, I get a lot of telephone calls about the noise off of that one venue. So I'm just trying to be fair to everybody around the venue. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you very much. We'll move into the next public meeting, number 2, as listed in the agenda. I want to ask Brandon Ward, Town Senior Development Planner, to confirm that notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act, the public meeting concerning this matter. Mr. Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Notification was conducted in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act. The notice was mailed to all landowners within 120 meters of the subject property. It was posted on the town's website and was also advertised in the Caledon Citizen, Caledon Enterprise, and Brampton Guardian newspaper on February 23rd.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brandon. Now I call upon Jennifer Misley of KLM Planning. I didn't get that right, did I? Sorry. To begin her presentation. You should know that because you've been here before. So
I have. That's all right, though. My name is Jennifer Maestri. I'm with KLM Planning Partners and am representing Caledon Terra Investments, Inc., for their proposed application for a draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment application. So the subject lands are located at 2256 Mayfield Road. It is located north of Mayfield Road and west of McLaughlin. The site is approximately 10 hectares in size and is currently used for agricultural purposes. The subject lands are located within the Mayfield West Phase 2 secondary plan, and they are designated for low-density residential environmental policy area, greenway corridor, and stormwater pond facility. So this is an image of the landowner's framework plan, which was prepared to assist with coordination between the landowners and also to prepare supporting studies, which the town is reviewing. You can see the proposed lands there are located within the low-density residential lands, as well as environmental policy area and a small portion of the greenway corridor. So this is an image of our proposed draft plan of subdivision, which shows 180.5 units, which will be single detached with frontages ranging from 9.1 meters to 13.7 meters. The draft plan also provides for a small greenway corridor at the northwest corner of the property, as well as a buffer block for the woodlot located on the northern boundary of the property. This draft plan also provides for an east-west collector road that's indicated on the secondary plan. So through our proposed zoning bylaw amendment application, we are proposing to rezone the lands to residential 1 with a special exception, as well as environmental policy area 1. The lands are currently designated agricultural, so the proposed zoning bylaw amendment is required to facilitate the residential use. So if you have any questions, happy to answer them.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that want to make comments or ask questions with regards to this presentation?
Sorry, just a little joke with one of the planners who cycles with my son. My name is Sherry Broshi, and I'm a resident of Caledon. Just a couple of questions. Can you please go back to, I think it's the second slide, if you don't mind?
The secondary one?
Yeah, perfect. Excellent. Thank you. Just a couple of questions in regards to cycling. The Spine Road, so it's McLaughlin. Is the Spine Road, and what is the one going east and west? We don't know the name of that, though, right? Okay. So my question through Councillor DeBoer, as the chair, to staff, what is the ratio per unit people? So I think it says 168 units. Is that what you said? 180 units. So how many people... Do we...
Jennifer, could you turn your microphone on right in front of you, and then you can answer right there. Thanks.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's so that it's recorded, right? Yeah, you got it.
Okay. Sorry, it's 180 units.
Okay, so 180, but how many people does the town of Caledon use per unit to get that growth factor number or whatever? Is it 3 or 3.3 or something?
They show 3.21.
Okay, so let's talk about cycling lanes. I learned, which was really cool, I didn't know this, I think it's Ministry of Transportation. I think the act is 108, but if I'm wrong, I stand corrected and I apologize. There is a criteria that's set out in regards to having cycling lanes on roads. My question is, number one, is there... I guess maybe it might come through the detailed site plan, or is it here? Is there going to be cycling lanes in this area? And if so, where?
So the community design plan indicates that there will be cycling lanes along McLaughlin as well as along the Spine Road. They also show proposed bike lanes along some of the collector roads, which may be in the form of pavement markings.
Okay, so this is what I learned, and I don't know if anybody is aware of this, and I think traffic brought it to our attention, is that there's a speed limit and then there's the amount of traffic on the road that warrants different ways of cycling lanes to be implemented, and that's more for a safety reason. Under the Traffic Act right now, there is a meter passing. So if McLaughlin is four lanes, or is it four lanes, or is it just two lanes? Through you, Chair DeBoer, to staff or the consultant.
To you, Jennifer?
I'm not sure what it is.
No, when this is done. What is the projected?
Through Chair DeBoer to Ms. Baroshi, it would be expanded to four lanes as part of the agreement.
Okay, thank you so much, Mrs. Tullett. So then if there's cycling lanes, would that be further from the two lanes, and then you have a cycling lane and a cycling lane, or not? Has that been factored into the width of the road?
I think it'd be a question that we probably have to ask Public Works staff to find it on the design. I don't know if our staff tonight are able to answer that, but I think they'll take that information and get back to you.
So here's my reason why. It's because it's all about safety, and so if you have a cycling lane that's designated as cycling, that's one thing. If you're going to do share the road, that's a whole other ballgame, and that's the reason my questioning. So moving forward through this whole exercise, I think when we move forward in planning and new development, that we need to take into consideration of the mobility, not even just cycling, but, you know, walking, running, scooters, like all kinds of things, right? So I just wanted to make sure that was brought up in the PIM, that when you are looking at it, you have to look at all the factors. And I know that it's a huge discussion right now, so if you could do that, I greatly appreciate it.
And it is a huge discussion here, too. So I think, and we'll have Public Works find out exactly what the design of the cross-section is. But
so am I going to be able to get those answers, or how is that going to work?
Actually, Ms. Tollett will attempt to give us an answer.
Sorry, through you, Chair DeBoer. So there's an EA, or environmental assessment, being done currently on the Swine Road and McLaughlin Road. It'll identify what type of lanes we will have, but the original plan was to have a separate cycling lane on Swine Road. I'm not sure about McLaughlin, but the EA will actually address that in their report when they complete it this year.
Okay,
perfect.
Being completed on it.
All right, and the last part of my questions would be the connectivity from this area to that's west, right? This is east, so that's the 410. So the connectivity from the 410, like over the 410 or like Mayfield and down into Brampton, has this been looked at during the process about connectivity into other parts of Caledon and also down into Brampton moving forward?
Ms. Tollett, do you want to?
Sure. Through you, Chair DeBoer. So the connection to the Spine Road onto the highway, that still has to be dealt with, but it will be dealt with before the subdivision proceeds. There's still discussions with the MTO on that. The connections to Brampton have been addressed in each of the areas. They want that connection. The last one is still to be determined is the Van Kirk connection, but other than that, they are connecting all the way across.
We're talking cycling though, right?
Sorry, I was talking about road infrastructure.
No, so sorry.
Cycling, we can look at it through the site plan process.
And also, I know Caledon's doing another relook at the Master Transportation Plan, and I know that's going to be part of it. So it's just, you know, to bring it to the forefront, always continuing, let's think about this mobility movement and connectivity from one part to another part and the safety on our spine roads and our major roads and within. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of council? Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through you to staff. There is an appeal on this application. Do we know the status of that appeal?
To you, Chair DeBoer, there's not an appeal on this land. There is two outstanding appeals, and we'll be bringing a report to council once we get close to that. And it's not related to these lands.
Am I on the right, in the right public information meeting? Tara? It's not the Tara.
It's not this piece.
So it's the next one, I guess?
I guess, well, it's not this piece. I think that's where we wanted to come to the conclusion.
Okay. So, sorry. Then I'll save it for the next one.
Good.
Thank you.
No further questions?
No.
Okay. I can call this presentation, this meeting, over. We'll now move into public meeting number 3 as listed on the agenda. I will now ask Brandon Ward, Town's Senior Development Planner, to confirm the notification in accordance with the Planning Act for this public meeting was... it happened.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As with the previous application, notification for this application was conducted pursuant to the Planning Act requirements. Notice was issued to all landowners within 120 meters of the subject property. It was also posted in the Caledon Enterprise and Caledon Citizen newspapers, as well as the Brampton Guardian newspaper. And this all occurred on February 23rd of this year.
Okay, thank you very much. And Jennifer Maestay will present. You okay, Jennifer? Okay.
Through you, Mr. Chair. Again, my name is Jennifer Maestri. I am a planner with KLM Planning Partners representing Lormel Joint Venture. With regards to their application for a draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment application. Their lands are located at 2650 Mayfield Road and are located north of Mayfield Road, west of the Orangeville-Brampton Rail Corridor, and east of McLaughlin. The subject lands are approximately 18.3 hectares in size and contain a woodlot on the northeast corner of the site and is mostly used for agricultural uses. The subject lands are also within the Mayfield West Phase 2 secondary plan and are designated low density residential, environmental policy area, greenway corridor, open space policy area, and stormwater pond facility. Again, this is an image of the landowner's framework plan, which has been used for coordination between the landowners, and it shows the subject lands as being part of the low-density designation, as well as environmental policy area, open space, greenway corridor, and stormwater pond. So the proposed draft plan of subdivision contains 118 single detached units, 197 single detached units with frontages ranging from 9.15 meters to 13.7 meters. It also shows a block for the woodlot for preservation on the north east corner of the site, as well as a park block adjacent to that woodlot area. There's also a greenway corridor, which extends from the woodlot down to Mayfield Road along the eastern property boundary, and a stormwater management pond located on the south limit of the lands adjacent to Mayfield Road. There are proposed trail connections through the Greenway Corridor block that will connect to Mayfield Road and the multi-use trail that's intended along Mayfield. In addition, we've submitted a proposed zoning bylaw amendment to redesignate the lands which are currently zoned agricultural to a site-specific residential zone, site-specific environmental protection policy area zone, as well as a open space and environmental protection area 1 for the woodlot. And again, any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you very much, Heather Maestri. Are there any questions from the public? Seeing none, is there any?
Good evening, Sherry Broshi, resident of Kellen, the same kind of thing. It's a new subdivision. And with new subdivisions that are fairly high density, and the cycling side of it and the running and the walking and the wheelchair and scooters. I'm hoping that the planners and along with town staff are always have in the back of their minds that this is part of the planning side. And sometimes our roads might have to be a little bit wider to accommodate, and or we have a wider path, multi-use path within the area. So my comments again is basically what I asked prior to please keep this in the back of your heads during the process and have it in the staff report and assure the people moving forward that that this has been a discussion and it will be implemented. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mayor Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for staff. If you can go back, or to consultant, you can go back one slide, I think. Yes, that'll work just fine. So down in the southwest corner there is the Emmanuel Christian Church. And back when the plan was done, I know one thing, if you look at the church, it was always designed to face towards the subdivision. The question is, have you as consultants reached out to speak to Emmanuel Christian Church?
We haven't at this time, but we will after this.
I would suggest you do, because I think it's about how you build communities and adapt to the amenities around you, and I would encourage that you follow up and have that conversation with them, please.
Yep, we will reach out to them.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Tollett explained to me about the appeal, but I'm still unclear because I'm reading, so I just want to understand, because I'm reading the report. It says, regional staff note that the secondary plan remains under appeal. The application should not proceed to approval until the secondary plan has been approved. So it's not then the particular parcel that's under appeal. It's the secondary plan?
To you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves. So, yes, the whole plan's under appeal. There is the two outstanding appeals. It's not this particular development.
Okay. Yes. So do we know what the status is right now of that appeal?
So we're close, and then we'll very close with the appellants. We should be bringing a report to Council shortly.
Okay, and by the time that report comes, because there are a number of other things I think this application needs to satisfy. There are a number of comments from the region and I think CBC that you need to satisfy. So would you say that the appeals will all be sorted out by the time they address all of those things?
To you, Chair DeBoer, there's other things that have to be settled before that anyhow. Staff will have to bring forward to Council the development sequencing plan, how the development gets built. We have to have that approved by staff and by Council. And then we have to figure out the connection to the spine road. There'll be additional work that has to be done before this will be proceeding anyhow.
Okay, thank you. I guess when I read it and the region's using words like it's premature because they have, I guess, the functional servicing report and the environmental implementation report needs to come forward as well. So Ms. Tollett, through you to the consultant, are you currently working on those things?
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes, we have submitted the FSR and the environmental work has been reviewed, and we're working on resubmissions back to the town and the external agencies to address those comments.
Okay. Is the region, I guess, and they the weren't satisfied with what was given to them. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And the other, Ms. Brioche talked about cycling, walking, connectivity, that sort of thing. And the region, I know that through their strategic plan review and all that, they did healthy, when they're looking at building communities, one of the things that they're focusing on is the healthy development and that. And I know, reading their comments, they have reviewed the healthy development assessment and are not satisfied with it. So can you elaborate on what it is that they're not satisfied with?
Unfortunately, I can't. I haven't actually seen their comments yet. So when we do get them, we will look to address them through a resubmission.
Okay. We've discussed a lot of that over the years at the region when we're talking about development, keeping people healthy, keeping people in their homes a lot longer, and cutting back on health care costs because we don't have any money to fund some of the things that we need to fund at the region. The other thing that they talked about was the noise study. Are you in the process? I think, did you submit something already to them? And
we did submit a noise study as part of our submission, but again, I haven't seen their detailed comments, but once we do, we will work to address those.
Okay, so if I may just ask that those are some of the things that I think are important, and that they get addressed, because at the end of the day, when a subdivision is built and things aren't done properly, it comes back on all of us here, so thank you.
No, thank you, Councillor Groves. And seeing no questions, no further questions, that concludes the public meeting portion of this evening's agenda. I would ask Council's indulgence in dealing with the one item of correspondence, because I believe a number of people are here with regards to the petition from Heather Whittier. I believe Mayor Thompson's got a motion, or is moved by Mayor Thompson, that the petition be referred to planning staff to be considered as part of the intensification study. And I need a seconder, Councillor Groves. Just to give everybody a little more information, and maybe Ms. Tollett can speak to the intensification study timelines and what exactly it's going to look at and how this is going to fit in with that.
Sure. Through you, Chair DeBoer. So what was approved in the 2017 budget was to look at an intensification study, because what we're seeing in a lot of our villages and hamlets are applications being applied for a piece of land and trying to sever it, and then large homes being built on it. So in our OP policy, it's not strong enough to speak to that. So what we need to do, because we're in the middle of reviewing our OP policy as well, we'll be looking at the intensification study and how that affects the villages and hamlets, so that we can bring forward the changes in that policies into the OP. And then we'll do that in conjunction with the zoning.
And there will be a public process to that?
The OP is definitely an open process. The OP and the zoning is.
Okay, so there'll be notification. Notification as far as newspapers and town website and that sort of thing.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's the motion. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Groves. All in favor? Oh, Councillor Downey? Oh, go ahead. You've been quiet this evening, so yeah, yes, you can have one now.
One question. Thank you. Three, Chair, to staff. I'm just... just for clarity, the intensification study is looking at all villages and hamlets through, like, in all settlement boundaries.
To you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Downey, that's my understanding, correct?
So it's a broad stroke across the town of Caledon, not specific to Caledon East or Inglewood or?
No, it's all villages.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so all in favor? That's carried. Okay, so we'll move on to the next items. If you don't want to stick around, you are able to, and actually we could probably recess for a couple of minutes if you want, 5 minutes. So we'll take a 5-minute recess, and then we will start with staff report 2017-7 regarding the formation of a working group on aggregate and related matters. To order, back into, or we got to get it back to work. Okay, the first item on the staff reports, the council member who held the report will be provided the opportunity to speak first. So I'll need a mover and a seconder. Staff report 2017-7 regarding formation of a working group on aggregate related matters. And the staff be directed to form a working group regarding aggregate and related matters. Do we have a mover? Mayor Thompson, do we have a seconder? Councillor McClure. And Councillor Shaughnessy asked to speak first. So you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some questions of staff, please. Official plan OP 161. Are we reopening that, or are we leaving that one alone during the official plan review?
Through Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Shaughnessy. So now that we're doing a new official plan, that one will be this new one will replace that one.
But we're not opening it up for any debate or discussion.
That's correct.
Okay, it's going to be just basically rolled into the main official plan.
So it would replace completely that old plan, and we'll have a new official plan.
Okay, okay, okay. During the OP review, is the Town of Caledon planning on removing the Aggregate Advisory Committee from the official plan?
Ms. Toller.
So part of the plan review process is to not prejudge what's to come out of that. So there's extensive public consultation as part of a public a plan review that's mandated under the Planning Act. At this point in time, we can't direct that. We have to go through the process.
Okay, it's not quite what I heard this afternoon, but okay. Okay, so let's go to the report. And just to let my council members know, I did meet with staff at 12 o'clock just before council today, which was the only time that they could find for me to fit in between this report coming out. Probably one of the most significant reports coming to Caledon Council. Been in our official plan since 2000, I think, is it? 2004, now I've forgotten. Long time, anyways, to have an aggregate advisory committee. When I got, okay, so I'll be straight with you guys, like I was today. You know what? When we have really important issues coming to a particular ward, I don't see why we aren't engaging those counselors in that ward. I said I would never blindside staff, but as a council member, I feel blindsided. I had no idea this was coming to council until the agenda came out. Nobody consulted with me. Nobody talked, even though I'm the aggregate person. I'm Ward 1, and that's where 95% of aggregate comes from, is in Ward 1. I've worked really hard to understand it and be a part of it, phoned conferences. And I get the agenda like everybody else, and there it is. And so being a week when it's a March break, you know, nobody's paying attention. Not only that, is the fact that this is a really important issue to Ward 1. Not only that, is my other ward counselor is away. Doug Befford has been away for 4 months, and I'm sort of carrying the show. And I got one vote instead of the two. So I find it extremely disappointing that under the most important issue for Ward 1, of the most important issues.
Can we talk about the actual motion as
I am talking
to,
about the motion. Thank you.
You're talking about your feelings was what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about my ward's feelings. I represent the ward. I represent 9,000 people. So when I speak for 9,000 people who deal with aggregate and have dealt with it since the 1940s. And it didn't give me much time to do my due diligence, but staff understands that I send this out to everybody. I just don't keep it and keep it to myself. So I quickly sent it out to like the 15 or 20 people who are active in aggregate for Ward 1. And I didn't get one positive result from this report. Actually, I've got some results that I wouldn't share with staff because I didn't, you know what, they were a little insulting, I have to say. But the fact is that this does not meet Ward 1's standards. Ward 1 expects more. Ward 1 deserves more. So I went through the report with staff, and I was quite blunt with them and quite honest, like I always am. And then I got told that this was all about creating a group for the official plan review. But that's not what the recommendation says. The recommendation says that staff be directed to form a working group regarding aggregate-related matters. It doesn't say that staff be directed to form a working group to discuss official plan review. But at that meeting at 12 o'clock, that's what I learned that this was about, was creating a group specifically for official plan review. But that's not what the recommendation says. So I greatly disagree with what this report says. It also makes a number of judgment calls. It appears. Well, sorry. You know what? That's a judgment. And there's nobody here at the Town of Caledon who is part of the community resource study that would even know what the intent of that group was, other than Mr. Ian Sinclair, who was the chair, who was here, and he left his notes for everybody to read. It also says the policy contemplates. So this is where I think it didn't represent, and for my members who don't understand it and aren't as aware of about the policies, it doesn't. The official plan doesn't say I contemplate an aggregate advisory committee. It says we shall have an aggregate advisory committee. No ifs, ands, or buts. So when I read the report, I was extremely disappointed by it. And so much of what is in the community resource study could have been applied to this, and we would have had a much better report. We would have had a much better report if we had engaged the public, and if you had engaged me, who I have been working, going to the conferences and learning everything I can, and trying to find balance between my community and the aggregate industry, which is really what I've been all about. So I went through this and I thought, do I sit here? Do I pull it apart? Do I pick piece one by one? And I think, no, I don't. I can't do that. So I think what I would like to do, and bear with me, is that I'd like to refer this report back. So I would like, and I don't know if anybody had any other comments. I mean, nobody contacted me to ask me for my opinion. So I really don't know if anybody has any comments or if anybody's even going to light up their light tonight. So let me just say what my referral is, and if I can speak to it right now. That report 2017-7 be referred back to staff for further information, and that for staff to contact all stakeholders whose names were acquired through the master rehabilitation planning process, and to invite interested stakeholders to a meeting held no later than May 31st, 2017, to discuss different committee structures, report 2017-7, and gain input from the stakeholders with respect to aggregate related matters and what committee structures work best, and report back to Council by July 11th, 2017, with the finding from the consultation process. The reason I say this is that we've just gone, we're going through the
mass. We need to have that up on the screen.
No.
No, we don't have it up on the screen?
No, you can have this.
No, I think the mayor did want to ask questions, but.
Probably, I just don't know where it is right now. You have to go with that one. The reason I say the master rehab plan, which I have been working with staff and quite successfully with staff, very pleased with them, with Hai Cheng and Ohi.
I'm supposing you're probably the mover. Do we have a seconder?
I'm sure we can find a seconder. Annette?
Seconded by Councillor Groves.
We say where the book ends. Now I lost my train of thought. Oh, the reason I say this is, and you may not, other council members aren't familiar, but for about 6 months we've been having meetings having to do with the master rehab plan for all the aggregate operations within Caledon, my area, about 2,000 acres. We've engaged residents, government officials, the industry, we've got them all on a database. It would be so easy to engage them on this process to actually say, let's sit down and talk about it. Because that's what we've done with the master rehab plan, and it's what I've been preaching, I
okay, preaching since I've got here, is that we have to find balance between the industry and the residents. And this exercise that we've been doing with staff over the Master Rehab Plan has really done a great job about engaging people and getting them excited and getting their voices heard. But it's been a very specific group of people because, quite frankly, aggregate doesn't appeal to everybody, and there's few that have the expertise. So I think we have this database. Like 4-5 months ago, we didn't have this database, but we have the database of all those concerned in around Caledon Village having to do with aggregate. They're the ones that we should be talking to. So I would like to see this process go follow that referral, engage them and talk to them and find out exactly what they want, because they're the ones that live with aggregate, not staff. It's the residents and the industry. So I think this is a really viable way to reach out to the people, to, because I can tell you right now, there isn't a single resident of mine that supports this report as it sits right now. So I'm suggesting that we...
Okay, I'm going to clear the board. We're going to discuss this motion for referral. Okay, so Mayor Thompson.
Okay. One is I think we're talking about the referral here. I did have it on. Okay, sorry. I apologize. We're speaking towards the referral. The challenge I have is what Councillor Shaughnessy is asking is here in the report. And especially if you look at the forum, should be open to anyone in order to be consistent with the principles of the Planning Act to provide a citizen participation in planning matters. The forum should also be focused on matters the town has the authority to address and the official plan in the region to address. Here's our way to deal with air particulate matter and a lot of things that we have yet been able to address and bring this to the table. I think it's a wide open instead of getting it down that you can only talk about this or that. To me, is keeping it wide open and flexible. So to me, when you read this report, it's right here, it's plain. And with the criteria here, I think it explains everything quite well. The only thing that I don't think we're addressing enough about, which we could have, but I think the report is well written, but where it is I think air quality is something that has to be addressed. I think it's a key focus. And so to me, that's the challenge I'm having with this report is I think what Councillor Shaughnessy is asking is right here in the report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I seconded the referral, and I hear what Mayor Thompson is saying. And certainly, Mayor Thompson, dust, noise, particulate matter, all of those things are extremely important to residents in the area. But I guess the reason that I'm supporting the referral, I'm reading the letter that Mr. Sinclair left us, and he has cited a number of things that he found was, I guess, inconsistent or maybe incorrect with respect to the report. And given the fact that he was the chair, and I think he's still the chair of the CCRS, and has done quite a bit of work, I have a great deal of respect for where he's coming from, and certainly he knows the aggregate industry and the policies in that quite well because he's been dealing with it for years. Just out of respect for Ian and the other residents in the area that have expressed a number of concerns, I guess I'm just asking my colleagues to support the referral. And I understand, Mayor Thompson, that we need to get this going, but I guess we just need to get it right. You know, and maybe there's an opportunity to meet with Ian or... have some discussions with him just to find out how we move forward with this. But I know that he's been doing a lot of work on this, so thank you.
Okay. Councillor Downey?
Thank you. Through you, Chair DeBoer. I'm going through the port, and I recognize that, you know, we're not always as tuned into items that are outside our wards particularly, but it seems pretty simple that within the report, I feel like what's being asked for is actually being addressed, and it just may come down to a matter of language. In that, I think in point two, no, one, of recommended approach, in order to have a committee, the operational matters which are outside of the town's jurisdiction are matters of exclusive provincial authority. So in order, like, to form a committee, so just to clarify, through you, Chair, to town solicitor, if we were to form a committee, the members of that committee would actually have no authority over those matters. They would have no jurisdiction. Is that correct?
Through the chair to Councillor Downey. The planning regime in Ontario for aggregate limits municipal authority to a great extent, far more than other forms of development. So if effectively, once zoning approval is in place, municipal authority kind of disappears. So in terms of ongoing operational matters, once zoning is approved, we don't have control over that. Forming a committee looking into ongoing operational matters over which we have no control, maybe they can opine on them, but there's nothing can be done about anything that they have to say from the municipal point of view. So I think that's the point that's being derived there. In terms of structuring a group that's to provide an input into the planning process, it needs to focus on what we can and can't do within planning.
I appreciate that. So I think as a member of the community, I would be discouraged to be asked to be a stakeholder of a group and then get there and realize that I actually have no jurisdiction over any of the discussion or be led to believe that we're going to discuss certain matters that we then have no jurisdiction over. So I guess my point is, within the report, you've offered us an outline of how we can form a stakeholders group and I think get to the main goal of having members of our community and members of the industry within Caledon come together, offer their expertise on matters that they actually can have input in. Is that?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Downey. So basically what the report's doing is similar to what that's asking. That is asking more of a committee structure. The report's asking for more of a working group so that it's more of an open, transparent process where it invites the community to be involved in the review of the aggregate issues, and then we can use that information as part of the OP process. The OP process will be involved with staff and obviously experts in those fields to develop the policies that we need later on we'll need to develop and defend at the OMB if we need to. So the input that we get from the community will also help in that, but we need to be very clear what the expectations are. So that's why staff's recommendation at this point was a working group to keep it more open and also invite the same people that would probably be part of a stakeholders group. So in this respect, we're asking for a working group instead of a committee structure.
Okay, so in that case, it seems to me like we're going in two different directions to get to the same place. So in which case I would not support a referral. I think that it has been outlined by staff exactly how to get where we want to go. They've outlined it clearly in the report, and I'm happy to support it when that time is appropriate.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, I got to clarify something here. What you're reading on page two and what the mayor thinks is what they're outlining as the what they would be doing is actually what's sitting in our official plan and the staff don't want them to do and can't do. So what you're reading here at the top is the progress of extraction, compliance with conditions of license. That's exactly what staff says they can't do. Not, this isn't what they're saying they want this group to do. This is exactly what's sitting on our official plan right now, and they're saying you can't do that. I'm not sure if I totally agree with them on all aspects, because you can work, even though it may be legislated by the MOE or MNRF or whoever, there are still ways to work with the industry to make compromises. So you're thinking that this is the outline of what staff want to do? Absolutely not. That's what's sitting in our official plan right now. So take that one out. That's not what they're talking about. So all they're saying and all this is saying is this isn't replacing this with that. This is saying go out and talk to them the way you just did on the master rehab plan and find out what the industry and my community says is the best way to handle the issue. I'm saying it's one more step before we actually make the decision on which way to go. It's not this or that. It's go that way, talk to the people, and then let's come back and have a great discussion exactly the same way as we're doing with the master rehab plan. We've done exactly that. We didn't go and just do the master rehab plan. We engaged all levels of the ministry, all the industry. I've been through all of them. I stood up in front of them, and I've spoken to them about what we're going to do. I've gone to the region to get money to do this. I'm working my Petusky off to do this. This is the same process. This is a slap in the face. This report is a slap in the face to my residents in Ward 1. So I'm saying let's take one more step and let's engage them and find out what will work between the industry and their residents. So if anybody thinks that this report was saying that this is what we're going to be doing, they will be wrong, because staff made it quite clear to me today that that is not what we're doing. And that the only thing we're doing here is everything having to do with the official plan review. Yet the first line doesn't say that. So I'm not happy with how it's written, and I'm not trying to be mean or difficult, but this isn't a good report for Ward 1. So I'm asking you to refer it, to go and engage the people who actually have to put up with it and the guys who extract it. Then we'll come back and we'll discuss. But not this way. Thank you.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. So just a couple of thoughts from me. One, and it's more of a general comment. I know Councillor Shaughnessy had made the comment about items that are specifically pertain to a particular ward in the community, having staff consult with the ward councillors in advance of a report. And I don't want to guess what she suggested should come out of that interaction, but I just wanted to say from my perspective, there should not be influence of council on a staff report. We are there to let staff do their work, their professional work, unencumbered, and then we speak to it when it comes to this council table. So I'm not sure, but I just want to make clear for me that if there's a big Ward 5 issue, I don't expect to, by that very nature, be able to influence the report that comes to council. My job is to have my influence here amongst my peers. That was the general comment. When this came back, this came to us before with the suggestion of striking this committee as it is identified in the official plan. I made the objection, and I still have it, about allocating, predetermining who should sit on that committee before it's been struck. We have a process and a policy for whether it's an advisory committee or a committee of council or what have you. We have a policy, and I think it's important for us. Those very same people may apply and be the most qualified to sit on it, but I would not support predetermining who those people should be, and I still don't. That said, I am struggling with this. Reading the report and reading the letter from Mr. Sinclair, question I have is, as he suggests, this is in our official plan, and in fact, it came to be in the official plan, if I read this right, through the OMB in a prolonged process. And the three paragraphs in the official plan clearly state what the goals and objectives of this group are to be, to basically monitor, to evaluate those types of things, the side effects of extraction, truck traffic, noise, dust, other social economic impacts. The question I have, and this is where I'm struggling, is if it did get to be in the official plan as an OMB process, and yet I am hearing that we don't have the authority to speak on matters such as these, to me I'm seeing a conflict. The official plan is saying strike a committee to do these things, and I am hearing that that this group does not have the authority to do that. I don't know if I can get an answer to this question, but I
think Constantine's probably got an opportunity to answer. Yeah. I think he's got it all formulated in his head there.
Through the chair to Councillor Mezzapelli, I believe the councillor was formulating a question, so if there's more to it, I'd prefer to wait until his question's complete before answering it.
It was just what I'm reading in the text of the official plan as it relates to this group and what this group is to do. It talks about monitoring individual and cumulative on an individual and cumulative basis, talking about noise, dust, traffic, effects on water, ecosystems, those types of things. And then conversely, I'm hearing that the municipality doesn't have the authority to or through a committee to speak on operational functions and that type of thing. So I'm finding a disconnect between the language of the official plan and yet what I'm told that we are limitations on what we can do as a municipality.
So through the chair to Councillor Mezzapelli, what's required somewhat is to speculate on how this went through the OMB 14, 15 years ago. I'd rather be careful about that. But what I can say is that policies that don't create restrictions on what can be approved tend not to get strong objections or objections at all because they have very little real effect. And so it may very well have been that because those policies don't say, let's monitor it and then do something about it. They just say, monitor it, that it passed through the OMB process. The other thing I can say is things have changed dramatically, legally and from a planning perspective, in the last 20 years. The CCRS report, which those policies came around 20 years ago. That same year, the Aggregate Resources Act was amended to dramatically curtail municipal powers. That doesn't seem to have found its way into that report. The Planning Act in 2005 and 2004 was dramatically changed, has been changed again. The PPS has been changed with respect to aggregate policies more than once, making it much more difficult for giving municipalities a lot more less leeway. Court decisions have come in that have changed the way the OMB has interpreted official plan policies. They used to be interpreted in a far more loose manner. Decisions have come in on who even counts as an expert in front of the OMB, which have changed things since 2004. We can say the entire legal and planning regime has shifted dramatically. And that's one of the reasons that we do an official plan review, is to bring things back up to speed and to today's standards and today's legal perspectives, and something that will work in today's environment.
Okay. So with all that said, let me ask a simple question, which I hope that you'll be able to answer. Because I understand, you know, the legalities and how we got to where we are. So would it be fair to say that what is in the official plan, as far as the expectations of this group, with all the changes in legislation and policy that's happened over time, that this group, with those changes, could not actually fulfill those expectations?
As the plan was written, even at that time, it would have required the assistance and aid of the Ministry of Natural Resources, which appears not to have occurred. So the monitoring that was considered, if you read the full plan policy, it considers basically the town and the advisory committee enlisting the aid of provincial government resources to conduct this monitoring. Now that has never occurred, and I have never seen an indication that the Ministry of Natural Resources is willing to enter into a joint monitoring program with the municipality.
Okay. All right. I guess my last question then would be, what is in the report as far as striking a, is it a task force?
No.
A working
group.
My apologies. It talks about consulting with the public and gathering information. What is the deliverable of the working group?
I didn't deal with this part of the report, but I think what is contemplated is that any recommendations would be included in the staff report from the working group. And the idea behind the working group is not to limit its membership, because the intent is to essentially engage with anybody who has an interest in these matters.
Okay. Okay, then maybe there's something I missed, so I'll pass the mic on, and if there's something further, I'll click in. Thank you.
Thank you. To go back, and I understand Councillor Shaughnessy's passion, but I think it answers everything what she is asking here. It's a citizens group is divided, devoted to providing input during the policy reviews through a working group. A working group will provide an open forum for stakeholders, public general meeting, no one excluded or given privileged position on an issue to an important variety of stakeholders in town in general. Create opportunities to address current emerging aggregate issues such as recycling of aggregate, air quality, noise, nuance of impacts. It also involves the skills and experience, the knowledge of residents, community groups, and the aggregate industry. It allows the town to benefit from this group and its insight of its volunteers. The group's sole purpose is to provide input to staff on the aggregate-related matters and would have no council-delegated authority. Input received by the working group will be incorporated in the staff report and considered by council. What more would you want? It's right there.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, when I had a meeting with staff, they said the sole purpose of this group was just to consult on the official plan, not ongoing. And when somebody says that people can't make a difference in these groups, we have all these liaison groups right across Caledon in my aggregate area. They talk about dust, they talk about noise, they talk about traffic. So if you're telling me that because it's under the MNR or whoever it is or the MOE that they can't discuss it, you're darn right they discuss it. That's why we create the liaison group. Actually, the liaison group should be under the aggregate advisory committee under one roof. So, and as much as our new lawyer's got everything on his plate, he's never read the CCRS. I don't think any of our new staff have read the CCRS. But there's three or four pages, let alone just for how to set up a committee. And that wasn't the residents. That was the major government officials who said what should be done. Yet nobody read it. Nobody has read the OMB decision on this. This has already gone through the OMB. We have not done our legwork as the town. It should have, one, they should have read the reports I've sent to them on all the various, from Trent Lakes to North Dumfries on their committees. They should have read the CCRS. And they should have read the OMB decision before we even brought anything. But it wasn't done. And I brought it to staff. So am I being critical? Maybe I am, because here I am. I'm representing a lot of people who have been putting up with aggregate since the 1940s, prior to the Pits and Quarries Act, prior to the ARA Act. But I expect that that needs to be done, and they need to be consulted, because I was told this afternoon that they want to take the aggregate advisory committee out of the official plan. And I believe that's what staff will come back and tell us, that we're going to take that out, or whoever we hire. My people will flip. Here I am trying to mend bridges, and the town of Caledon's tearing them down on me. We can't do that, guys. We've got to consult with my residents. And you guys don't know it because you haven't immersed yourself in it, but I have. I've learned so much, and I'd like to share, and I come back from... Hi Ching says, I'm the only one on council that comes back and delivers them all the reports and everything from the conferences that I've gone to. Because I figure if you're paying for me to go to a conference, I come back and I educate staff. I provide it. From slideshows to books to you name it, I provide it. Plus my papers on it. So okay. We had this discussion. Sorry, I'm not finished.
Well, we should actually be discussing the amendment.
Well,
I think you've headed off into different direction.
I'm explaining why it's important, why that amendment's important. And I'm sorry, you're going to have to bear some...
I think you're talking feelings again. We've got to get back to the motion here.
Well, I've got the motion. I know what it means. But council sometimes has a closed mind, and we have to have an open mind. And if the councillor of the area is saying her residents don't approve of this because I sent it out to them and I heard back loud and clear, then you should be listening to me. So, I mean, even one... Oops, got to get my glasses. Sorry, guys. You'll have to bear with me for a second. So it says, I had one person email me back and it says, it means citizens will not be effectively engaged and their voice will not be heard at council. A working group will not provide an open forum for stakeholders and the public because it seriously downplays the importance of engagement and input, and aggregates are critically important to Caledon. It also downplays the value of the rehabilitation master plan. In fact, contradicts what's already been included in draft terms of reference, which I was a part of.
I think we should, Ms. Tollett, would you like to reply to that comment or somebody that you've got?
Through you, Chair, to Board of Councillor Shaughnessy. So page 4 of the report on the top, it says a working group will be open to all Caledon residents and interested parties led by the community services staff. Staff will call a meeting of the working group and required responsibilities to run the meeting. So we'll have notices to the paper, we'll state the purpose, the date, the time, the venue. We'll have agendas and taking notes and recording what happens at the meeting. So I think at this point we are keeping it open so that anybody could attend. There will be certain people that will come on a regular basis, but that was the whole intent, was to keep it more open.
Community service staff. Who the heck is that?
That's my department, okay. Which in that department has planning staff, policy staff.
Okay. I was at the meeting. I was specifically told this had to only do with the official plan. Is that changed since 12 o'clock?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, on page 1, on the fourth point of the report highlights, it does say on the very last sentence, related matters as part of the upcoming official plan review.
Right. Not ongoing aggregate industry dealing with all the issues. Like the aggregate advisory committee would do. I just tell you, council, you're going to make up your mind and just do what you want anyways. I'm just telling you, my residents do not approve.
Constantine's going to take an attempt at trying to give you an
I've
answer.
Already had a meeting. I understand.
I think the rest of council do want to also hear the answer.
The context of the request to staff was the official plan policies, so that was why the focus was on the official plan review. Because that is going to change and look at all of our policies and to see where we should go with aggregate and other issues. In terms of municipal jurisdiction, the official plan is and zoning are our major area of authority over aggregate. So it makes sense to concentrate our resources on an area which we actually have authority over. And that's the rationale behind the staff report on, and the staff focus on the official plan review.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McClure.
Yeah, okay, I haven't got much to say, but I wouldn't want to live beside a pit, but it seems to me that we could set up a task force and a committee to keep track of everything they're doing wrong. But I don't think it's going to make a bit of difference. If they get a license, we're not going to take it away from them. They're going to let us blow wind, and nothing's going to happen. They got the license, and this isn't going to change anything.
Okay,
That's just my thought.
Thank you, Councillor McClure. Okay, so I'm going to call the question. We got moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Groves. We got the amendment up there, amendment to, or I guess it's the amendment for the motion to refer it back to staff for further information. Do you want me to read the rest of it, or are we good? All in favor? All opposed? The amendment fails. So we're back to the main motion. So staff report 2017-7 regarding formation of a working group on aggregate related matters. So we had a move for Mayor Thompson and seconded by Councillor McClure, and that staff be directed to form a working group regarding the aggregate and related matters. All in favor? All opposed? So it carries. Okay, we're moving to confidential. So we need a motion to move in camera.
The flat.
It was approved by consent.
Okay.
It was approved by consent, and staff report 2017-18 was approved by consent. Oh, it was. So we need to have a motion to move into this one. The general committee shall go into confidential session under section 239 of the Municipal Act for the following purpose. Confidential staff report 2017-4. Regarding advice that is subject to a solicitor-client privilege and litigation, including matters before an administrative tribunal affecting the municipality, appeal options for Committee of Adjustment Decision number A056-16, 0 Queen Street, Alton, Ward 1, and confidential staff report 2017-5 regarding advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege and litigation, including matters before an administrative tribunal affecting the municipality. Appeal options for the Committee of Adjustment Decision number A042-16, 26 Wright Crescent. So moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. All in favor? Carried. So Council will now move in confidential session. Remember the What a team player. You guys are a good team together. Okay. So, back in open session. Do you want me to read all of this? Or just this? Okay. That staff be directed to proceed with option one to attend the OMB appeal in support of defense of the owner's application. That's for staff report 2017-4. Moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. All in favor? Carried. And for confidential report 2017-5, the staff be directed to proceed with option one and attend the OMB appeal in support of the defense of the Committee of Adjustment decision. Moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. All in favor? Carried. This concludes the meeting of Planning Development, and it's now adjourned. Thanks. Aye.